Do we have like an illustration that can help us know what? Yeah, okay. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 305. And since that ends with a five, that means that today is Shingon Buddhism Part 10. So this is the series in which we read The Matrix and Diamond World Mandalas in Shingon Buddhism by Adrian Snodgrass. If this is your first time and you would like to start at the beginning, then here's the playlist. You can start with Part 1. Shingon Buddhism Part 1 is the beginning of this book. And all right, I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everyone had a happy new year. It is now 2026. And I believe Buddhist books started in 2021. So we're not quite 5 years old because we started on December 5th of 2021. So still only four, but we got a birthday coming up this year that's divisible by five. That seems special for some reason. All right, I'll quit rambling and get to what you came here for, I assume, which is the reading. Picking up right where we left off last time. When it represents a single prong vajra, the two thumbs and the two index fingers are the upper and lower portions of the single prong of the vajra. While the two middle and the two ring fingers are the lotus that supports the vajra. I feel like we're right in the middle of something. So, right, securing the boundaries. Okay, so we began reading Securing the Boundaries last time at the very end of Buddhist Books 295, which was Shingon Buddhism Part 9. So, if you want to look at the playlist and listen to the last 5 minutes or whatever, then maybe this will make a little more sense. But anyway, I'm going to keep going forward. While the two middle and the two ring fingers are the lotus that supports the vajra, and the two little fingers standing together represent the demon eye, or Kimoku. All right. The two air, or index fingers are above because they represent the syllable hum, the syllable of the world of beings that arises by the workings of dependent co-origination, or pratitya-samutpada in Sanskrit, or engi in old Japanese. And the two void fingers, thumbs, are turned downwards because they are kham, kham, the syllable of the equal void, or toku, and the knowledge of the great void, mahasunya jnana, 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 right, is the Sanskrit, and daikuchi is the Japanese, the serene knowledge of the Buddha world. The single prong vajra here symbolizes the knowledge of the unoriginated, innate bodhicitta, which is the non-duality of beings and the Buddha. The two fire fingers, the middle fingers, Mr. Rogers, would you? Thank you, Mr. Rogers. And the two water or ring fingers, that's the one, this one. It's not what it looks like, if it looks like what Mr. Rogers was doing. See, it's innocent when he does it. If I do it, then I end up looking like Gwydion. And never mind about Gwydion. I'll just keep reading. Just forget you saw that. Yes, the two fire middle fingers and the two water ring fingers crossed together are the diamond throne. the indestructible and immovable seat that is set up in the true principle of the non-duality, the interlocked fingers of wisdom, the fire fingers, and meditation, the water fingers, belonging to the two worlds of beings, the left hand, and the Buddhas, the right hand. End quote. The two earth or little fingers joined at the tips symbolize the non-duality of beings and the Buddha. Do we have like an illustration that can help us know what? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Those illustrations is what we're talking about. I'm not planning to like build a boundary using Vajra spikes, so I'm not like taking a lot of time and really focusing on this, like, okay, how do I do this with my fingers? But, you know, the instructions are there, and probably this is something that you should go seek out a proper Shingon master, and then they'd say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You say, well, because I want to do this. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Well, what should I do instead? You should join my cult. So, you know, that, you know, people have their thing. That's not my thing. Anyway, when the mudra is taken to represent a three-prong vajra, the two thumbs, the two index fingers, and the two little fingers are the three prongs, while the two ring fingers and the two middle fingers are the lotus holding the demon eye. The four pairs of fingers represent the four inherent delusions. Have we been, I think we have been reading the footnotes, and there are many footnotes. Okay. The inherent delusions of ignorance concerning the self, the false doctrine of the self, pride in the self, and love of the self arising from conjunction with the seventh consciousness. Manovijnana, or manashiki. The tip of the right water ring finger is the false doctrine of the self, and the tip of the right fire middle finger is pride in self. They protrude from between the other fingers because they are among the persistent illusions, the five sharp envoys. Okay, in quotes. Now, before we continue, let's get to these footnotes. So, footnote number 9 is in reference to the serene knowledge of the Buddha world. The knowledge of serenity, santajnana, or jakujo shi, is a synonym for nirvana. Okay, but it's not what was being referenced with the footnote. So there's bukai jakujo ji. Oh, Jakujo-ji is, okay, Santajnana. All right. So it's related. Knowledge of serenity is a synonym for nirvana, the serene knowledge of the Buddha world. All right, that's something. Footnotes, right? Footnote number 10 is in reference to the firm indestructibility of bodhicitta. One tradition, which one? Doesn't say. One tradition says that the sadhaka is to visualize the single prong vajra as both horizontal and vertical. Okay, so it's a tradition within Shingon Buddhism. All right, maybe it doesn't have a name. It's just, oh yeah, those guys say it this way, different from those guys. All right, continuing. The two index fingers and the two thumbs are a single prong vajra standing vertically, and the two index fingers and the two little fingers are a horizontal single prong vajra. Okay. Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, intuitively it makes sense. Like, as you go through life, like learning things, you'll meet somebody who says, ah, well, let me explain it to you, and they explain it a certain way. And then you maybe assume that that's the way it is until you find out that that person has a very minority opinion about, you know, I mean, like the most people actually think of it the opposite of what he said, or that there's three or four different takes. And so it kind of makes sense in that context. Am I making sense? Doesn't matter. Right. Okay, like with sushi, like if you go to different parts of Japan, or you speak to somebody who came from one part as opposed to another part, Osaka as opposed to Tokyo, then you might have people telling you different things about when and how you should use your hands or chopsticks or soy sauce or this and that. And then you assume, oh, in Japan, this is how you do it. Well, yeah, in Tokyo, but not in Osaka. Oh, okay. Well, keep listening. Just, all right. Where were we? So, inherent delusions, the four inherent delusions, footnote number 11. The word inherent, sahaja in Sanskrit, or kushoki in Japanese, specifies the delusions that are inherent, as contrasted with those that arise from discrimination. Okay. Pari, kalpa, samutita in Sanskrit, and fumbetsu ki. Now, discrimination isn't necessarily a bad thing. The word discrimination, as we use it in English, tends to refer to when it's bad, but to discriminate is to be able to determine which is which, right? But delusions that arise from discrimination are different from the delusions that were already there before you started discriminating, right? Okay. Specifies that, yeah. That is, the delusions that arise as a result of contact with false teachings, okay, and non-Buddhist views as a result of false reasoning, such as false views, or akken, doubt, gi, attachment to false views, ken juken, and attachment to false practices, kaigon juken. The exoteric and esoteric doctrines concerning the four delusions or four doubts, shiwaku, in which waku is delusion or doubt, differ, yes. In fact, many would point to a lot of the practices in Shingon as. Anyway, in exoteric Buddhism, the four delusions are one, ignorance concerning the self. Okay, these are the exoteric, the four delusions that arise from, that are inherent, not which arise from discrimination. And in exoteric, so in not Shingon, Shingon talking about all the other kinds of Buddhism are saying these are the four normal. Normie Buddhist Mahayana delusions. One, ignorance concerning the self. Two, the doctrine of the self, the false view that the self exists and is a permanent reality. Three, depends on how you define the self, if you ask me. Three, pride in self, depends on how you define self, if you ask me. The arrogant, yeah, that, in other words, never mind, I'll just keep going. The arrogant egotism that arises as a result of the false view that a real self exists. Okay, depends on how you define real and exists and self. But continuing, the exalting of self and the depreciation of others. Yeah, you guys never do that. Edward, calm down. Just read it. Read it. We're all friends here. It's cool. It's cool. I mean, okay. Four, love of self, attachment to the self. The four delusions are the four co-functioning mental attributes. According to the Japanese English Buddhist Dictionary, something something manashiki, of the seventh consciousness. Right, the seventh consciousness, manovijnana, which arise because this consciousness mistakes the perceiving division, or kembun, for the self. The perceiving division, it is challenging, working with and working within and seeing the world, seeing reality, seeing philosophical ideas, seeing, ideas like self and eternity and not eternity and nothingness and void and all of these different things, even from different forms of Vajrayana, let alone different forms of thought. And going in and saying, oh, okay, right, okay, I can see it from that perspective. And then going into another one, and then that one says, yeah, this is our perspective. Oh, okay, that's a good perspective. Yeah, and that other perspective is wrong. And it's like, Okay, well, I don't think so. You know, I mean, I can't help but disagree with sometimes, you know, in order to preserve my sense of personal respect for and understanding of through and within the other perspective, like Vedanta. Vedanta has a different idea of self than obviously Shingon Buddhism, but I think that there's something to be gained in each. And I mean, I can totally understand the person who says, you know what? I'm not interested in any of these things. I'm only interested in what I can observe going on in a test tube. Like, that's a very pure and good and, you know, rational way of approaching things. And you'll get different answers, different conclusions. You can build your reality in a different way and with different results and a different pieces, different like a different box of Legos. You know, you don't have any red or blue or yellow Legos in that box, whereas this is all, you know, red, blue, and yellow Legos. But the rules say, whatever you do, don't make a ship out of this. This is a Lego set for a tower, but you can make a ship out of it too. But shh, don't tell the Lego Corporation. Am I making sense? Probably not. It's okay. I'll just keep reading. So we're in the footnotes still, right? Yes. Oh yeah, and that was all talking about exoteric. Okay. So the which arise. This is the seventh consciousness, which arise because this consciousness makes the perceiving division for the self. Okay. The perceiving division is one of the four divisions of consciousness, or shiki, right? Or vijnana. In the formulations of the Vijnanavada school of exoteric Buddhism, which they call Hosō in Japanese, okay, we haven't gotten to that yet. The four divisions are one. Okay, so what? All right, so that first one was the four kinds of false view in exoteric Buddhism in general. So this is the four kinds of false view in Hosō, in the Hosō school of exoteric, not esoteric, exoteric. So for the many, normie Hosō Buddhism. What's Hosō? Let's learn about it a little in the form of these four. The four divisions are one, the image division, the image of an object that appears in consciousness. Two, the perception division, the division of the consciousness that functions to perceive the image. Three, the self-evidencing division, also called the self-differentiating division, the division of the consciousness that functions to corroborate the workings of the perception division, and four, the division that evidences the self-evidencing division, the division of the consciousness that functions to corroborate the workings of the self-evidencing division. Each of the eight types of consciousness listed in the Vijnanavada doctrine has these four divisions. The third division, the self-evidencing division, is the most important of the four. The esoteric Buddhist doctrine, now we're getting to it, of the four delusions teaches that they are, quote, four things that obstruct the conversions, end quote. That is, the four hindrances, or shisho, that obstruct the virtues of the four conversions, or shiten, doubt, giwaku, which hinders the bodhicitta, lack of exertion, or ensha, that hinders practice, false views, kenja, which hinder the attaining of awakening, and attachment, jojitsu, which obstructs entry into nirvana. The mudra in the ritual refers to the exoteric, not the esoteric doctrine of the four delusions. This is all to explain a mudra. So the mudra that they use to put the stakes in the ground to mark the holy space for the dojo or the place of the way is referring to the four false views of exoteric Buddhism, not of esoteric Buddhism, but it's a practice used in esoteric Buddhism, not exoteric Buddhism. And how is this useful for you and I? It's not, except as a brief distraction from whatever it was we were thinking about before. Okay, now footnote number 12. This is pride in the self and love of the self arising from conjunction with the seventh consciousness. Okay, 12. Conjunction or union, samrapayoga. What? Samprayoga or so-o is a technical term used in Vijnanavada teachings to mean, quote, the close connection of consciousness with the other mental elements. According to the Abhidharma and the Vijnanavada, the various mental elements are more closely united with consciousness than the elements of matter with one another. This is called samprayoga, i.e., a thorough and intensive union, and it is explained as a following and enveloping of consciousness by concomitant mental phenomena. This close connection means that the mental elements are satellites of consciousness. They appear and disappear together. They are produced by the same causes and have the same moral aspect, and they envelop consciousness but do not enter into it. And then the last one, the 13, footnote 13, sharp envoys. The full dull envoys and five, the five dull envoys, or Garonshi, and the five sharp envoys, or Gorishi, constitute the 10 fundamental delusions or passions, the Bonno. The sharp envoys are the five false or heretical views, the Goken, and the five dull envoys, the stupid messengers, are the five basic passions, desire, anger, ignorance, pride, and doubt. So it was a footnote on the five sharp envoys, but it, then the footnote tells you about the five dull envoys instead of the five sharp ones. Oh. I hope they explain the five sharp ones at some point. That'd be nice to know. The mudra. Now we're back to the text. We're done reading footnotes. The mudra that you use to put the stake in the ground. Remember what we're talking about. The mudra is one of those belonging to Kundali. Vidyaraja. Or Gandhari Myo-o. In Japanese. The fingers that form the three prongs of the Vajra also represent Kundali. And the fingers that represent the four delusions concerning the self are the four snakes that form Kundali's necklace. The mudra refers to the meditation on the three iniquities. There's a footnote. I'll read that in a minute. In which the seventh consciousness, the mano-vijnana, is transformed into the knowledge of the equality of essences, or byodo-shochi. The four inherent conjunct delusions are transformed into the virtues of the gate of the collection of precious things, or hoshumon. That is, Buddhism, and become the ornaments of the Dharma body. All right, so that footnote, the meditation on the three iniquities. The meditation on the three iniquities, or San Byodo Kan, is a meditation on the identity, Byodo, of the three mysteries of body, speech, and mind, which are equal because universal and omnipresent. All right. In the samadhi of this meditation, the sadaka perceives that the mystery of the body is everywhere and interpenetrates all things, so that every object is an aspect of the Buddha body. He sees that every sound is a true word, or shingon, remember that's the meaning of shingon, and thus an aspect of the mystery of speech, and he realizes the doctrine of entering me and me entering, which is nyuga danyu. Okay, which means that his mind is identified with the Buddha's mystery of mind. The meditation on the three equalities is also called the meditation on the three samadhis.
or San Samai Khan, referring to the samadhis of each of the three mysteries. See also the samadhi of the threefold identity. All right.
So that was the footnote. Continuing. The dharani that accompanies the mudra of the Vajra spikes is, quote, Om Kili Kili Vajra Vajri Bura Banda Banda Hum Fat, end quote. In this, quote, Kili Kili, end quote, is, quote, spike spike, end quote. It's very interesting. So at first I was thinking of all this, putting spikes in the ground and everything as well. They're doing some interesting stuff on a mountaintop 3 hours north of Osaka, Japan. But then this kind of like makes me realize, oh, and also probably in Nalanda University before it got sacked and burned down and all the monks murdered and all that. Probably this is one of those things. Which makes me wonder, is there an equivalent with these spikes in any form of Tibetan Vajrayana? Or is this an element, is this an example of something that was preserved by the Japanese branch of Vajrayana from Indian Vajrayana? I don't know. No idea. Both referring to the spike and the action of spiking. Vajra is diamond wisdom, Vajra Pranya, or Kongo A. And Vajri is diamond meditation, Vajra Dhyana, Kongo Jo. Bura is firmness, Banda is binding, same word as like Mula Banda, the three Bandas and all that. Hum is the seed syllable of terror, and also of bodhicitta, and Fat is the seed syllable of crushing and destroying. The dharani thus means that diamond wisdom and diamond meditation spike down, firmly bind and terrify the demons, crushing and destroying their great power. As he makes the mudra and recites the dharani, the sadaka mentally strikes each corner of the Bodhi Manda three times with a single or a three-prong vajra. Wow. All right. I feel like maybe I want to listen to this one and the last one a few more times. Not necessarily that I'm going to go out and start putting spikes in the ground with this chant, but just to be able to visualize how it's done exactly. What's going on with the fingers? And what's the meaning of every finger placed in each and every way? And doing that one act that happens in a moment with those words, with those fingers, it's like many layers of meaning all in one thing. Kind of makes me wonder and think about how many things are there that we take for granted that have so many layers of meaning. I mean, there's the obvious, you know, ritual things like a wedding ring at a certain moment in the ceremony where you can clearly see, oh, okay, well, there's several things happening here all at the same time, and in an act that is planned for and prepared for that's done in a particular way. But are there other things as well that have layered meaning, symbolic and literal, that that go more or less unnoticed but reaffirm a message within a shared, you know, sort of collective societal agreement, consciousness, collective consciousness. All right. Well, you know, physically, we didn't get very far. We read 1, 2, 3 pages. And the text is very big on these pages. But it was a half an hour. And I'm going to keep these for today. I'm making this about a half hour. Sometimes we go over and read for more than an hour, but not today. I hope that you enjoyed this, you know, episode. Feel free to like and subscribe and comment below. And may you have a wonderful 2026. And all right, I'll go ahead and do our usual closing that we do here on Buddhist Books Podcast. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below. We send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.